Give as God has given to you. Let me point out to you in the previous letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. Beginning in the second part of verse 21, he says this, "For all things belong to you." Isn't that something? That everything belongs to you? How? Listen, verse 22. "Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." Do you know that gives you carte blanche for just about anything that you want in the world, because God owns everything and you are owned by Christ and Christ is God? So that gives you access to everything there is. And then what are you going to do in comparison? What are you going to give to God in that He's given to you everything? You see, the tendency that we have is to measure our giving by what other people are giving. Look at verse 12 in 2 Corinthians 8. It says, "For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a man has and not according to what he does not have." In other words, don't compare yourself with other people who are giving. You remember the widow's mite? She gave more than everything else because she gave everything that she had. A young man who is making $25,000 and he gives $2,500 in tithe is giving more than a man who is making $35,000 and yet he gives only $3,000. Someone has once said that true giving is measured not by what I give, but by what I have left after I've given. Give in comparison to what God has given you. But the second main thing that I want to point out among the seven ways toward achieving God's abounding grace, the second thing is in verses 8 and 9. Look at that. "I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also." And then verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty may become rich." In other words, give in order to prove your love. That's what Paul is saying to the Corinthian Christians. He says, if you want to prove that you love Jesus Christ, then you give. Look at verse 24. It says, "Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about you." How do you show your love to Christ? How do you show your love for starving children? Is it by getting a magazine? And I've seen magazines with pictures of starving children on them and in them, which would bring you to tears. Is it by weeping and feeling a certain sense of warmth and of agony over the starving masses in the world? Or will it be by proving that love by giving? Love, you see, can be defined in the Bible as giving. Everybody knows John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave. He didn't stand up in the sky 40,000 miles and shout down to us, "I love you." Rather, He sent His Son to take on human flesh to prove that He loved us. How did God prove that He loved us? He gave to us His Son, Jesus Christ. How are you going to prove that you love Jesus Christ? It is going to be by giving to Him. I used to be very reluctant to talk about money and giving. But brothers and sisters, if you've read the New Testament, then you cannot miss the fact that Jesus Christ spent much of his earthly ministry in teaching on the stewardship of possessions and demonstrating how a wrong use of possessions is going to shut a man off from the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ loved us, and so what did he do? He gave himself for us. Do you love Christ? This is, as the saying goes, where the rubber meets the road. In talking about rubber meeting the road, do you ever observe the bumper stickers that you see on cars? I'm not real keen on bumper stickers, but I like to just figure out the theology of the bumper stickers. There used to be one that said, if you love Jesus, honk. I never did like that. But I saw one that was better. It said, if you love Jesus, tithe. Isn't that good? If you love Jesus, tithe. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying in essence to the Corinthian Christians. If you love Jesus Christ, then prove it. Tithe. Hudson Taylor was a great and godly man, a missionary. He was going through a time in his life when he had given up everything to God. He reduced his income, and he was a man of some substantial income at one point in his life, until he stopped eating things like butter and other luxuries and even milk, and just started eating oatmeal and rice. But one time, he was asked to come see a poor man whose wife was dying. And Hudson Taylor only had a half of a crown, half crown in his pocket. That's all the money he had. He had enough for breakfast the next morning, but he had nothing for dinner the next evening. And so this poor man took him, and all he could think was, is, you know, you idiot. Why did you let things get in such a situation where your wife is dying, you have no food, you have no money? All the while he was going to minister God's love and care to this couple. But he didn't want to turn loose of his half crown. He said, Lord, if only I had a sixpence. If only I had a little bit more, I'd even turn this half crown over and just keep the sixpence for myself. But all that he had in the world was a half crown. But finally, as he was praying with the couple, and I want to read you these words. He says in his book, you asked me to come and pray with your wife, I said to the man. Let us pray. And I knelt down, but no sooner had I opened my lips with, Our Father, which art in heaven, that conscience said within, Dare you mock God? Dare you kneel down and call him Father with that half crown in your pocket? Such a time of conflict then came upon me as I have never experienced before or since. How I got through that form of prayer, I know not, and whether the words uttered were connected or disconnected, I cannot tell. But I rose from my knees in great distress of mind. The poor father turned to me and said, You see what a terrible state we're in, sir. If you can help us, for God's sake, do. And at that moment, the word flashed into my mind, Give to him that asketh thee. And in the word of a king, there is power. I put my hand into my pocket and slowly drawing out the half crown, gave it to the man, telling him that it might seem a small matter for him to relieve them, seeing that I was comparatively well off, but that in parting with that coin, I was giving him my all. What I had been trying to tell them was indeed true. God really was a father and might be trusted. The joy all came back in full flood tide to my heart. I could say anything and feel it then, and the hindrance to blessing was gone, gone, I trust, forever. Not only was the poor woman's life saved, but my life, as I fully realize, had been saved too. Because Hudson Taylor was willing to give and to reach out and to meet and to prove that he loved by giving everything he had at that particular point. Well, there's a third way of achieving God's abounding grace in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 8. It says, "And I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, but also to desire to do it. But now finish doing it also, that just as there was the readiness to desire it, so there may be also the completion of it by your ability." Now, what does Paul mean by that language? What he is saying in essence is this: give with a goal in mind and give methodically. That's what he means by verse 10. Determine what you intend to do. I mean, look ahead, look to the future, and plan out what you're going to do, and then begin to give methodically. Paul had already told the Corinthian Christians in chapter 16 of the first letter that they ought to take up an offering at the first of every week, so that what we do when we receive an offering is something that is scriptural. It isn't because we've just picked it up and it's a way to raise money. Do you know that the time when the offering plate is passed around is one of the high moments in this worship service? It is so because you and I are given an opportunity to give back to God something. We're always receiving. We're always getting. But in one moment, we're able to reach in. And we're able to say, "Lord, this is yours. Use it." What joy and expectancy ought to be there as you see the plate coming. The fourth way to achieve God's abounding grace is revealed in verses 13 and 14. And it says this: For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. And it goes on to say, in essence, give with a sense of spiritual expectancy. Why? Because God will repay you. That's what verse 14 says, in essence. God will not be in your debt. Jesus says, "Give. And then shall men give unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom." Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, "Cast thy bread upon the water, and thou shalt find it after many days." Give in such a way, believingly, and with a sense of expectancy. There's a man, a fellow PCA member in Briarwood Presbyterian Church, who has the gift of giving. Did you know that was a spiritual gift? He invested $1,000 in a certain commodity. Did you know not too long after that, several years, but not too many years, he made $1 million. But do you know that he gives 50% of everything he makes to Jesus Christ and to the work of the church? He has the gift of giving. Give with a sense of spiritual expectancy. God will repay you. And God will bless you to the level of your giving. Look at chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." In other words, Christian, do you want to reap a great harvest for Jesus Christ? Then the only way you can do it is to begin to sow bountifully, to pray as you give a dollar, to pray, young people, as you give your dimes and your nickels, that the Lord Jesus would take that and that he would multiply spiritually that money. And he will. As you pray, as you invest in the Gideons, in the Salvation Army, in Child Evangelism Fellowship, in the mission to the world of the PCA, and in the mission to the United States where churches are being started down in Birmingham. That is your work. That is my work, because I give money and I pray, God, use this, spread your word, and I get part of the benefit from it. So Hudson Taylor gave his money, and God wonderfully blessed him. And do you know the end of the story is this? He only had enough money for breakfast and not enough money for lunch. And he received some mail that morning, and in it, he received some money. And God had multiplied what he had given away by 400%. You can't outdo God, but you can trust him. You can trust him with the tithe, and you can trust him with that which is above the tithe in supporting the work of Jesus Christ. And then quickly, let me run over these last ones. The fifth one is to give to help others, and that's what we do, and that's set out in verses 1 and 12 of chapter 9. Sixthly, give as a witness to other Christians. That is, as a source of glorifying God, to cause them to say, praise God for the gift that I have received from the First Presbyterian Church. At the Altadena Church, we had engaged in a building program. Do you know that a missionary that we supported sent us $15? And he said, I want to be a part of what God is doing in the Altadena Valley Presbyterian Church. Because we gave, they gave. If you give, others will give. And there will be an endless stewardship sufficiency cycle where God meets your need and God will meet somebody else's need through this method of giving. And then seventhly and lastly, give with a cheerful attitude. And look particularly at verse 7. It says, let each one do just as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know what that means? That can be translated hilarious. Be a hilarious giver. I mean, when you see the offering plate coming, don't say, uh-oh, here it comes again. They're going to get me. But say, hot dog, here it comes. This is my opportunity. This is great. Dig down, give to God. You see, the early Christians, after the worship service, after the communion service, when they celebrated what God had given to them, you know what they did? They brought gifts up in front. And they then offered their gifts to God. We've come full circle. You see, we started out by reflecting on what God has given you. And that's what I'm asking you to reflect on too. Friends, God has given to you everything. He's given to you his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved you. He died for you. What are you going to do to prove your love to him?